What did I know of the book? I, of course, as every Canadian is, completely aware of Farley Mowat, and we were introduced to the book in school, and I'm afraid I didn't probably take as much interest, pay enough attention as a schoolboy at the time in reading it, but as an adult, to come back to it like this has been pure pleasure. It's beautifully written, passionate, which I know he talks about himself, that a lot of what he does comes from his heart rather than his head. Not to say that it isn't full of very, very sharp insight as to what he was doing up in the north at that time. The other interesting thing for me is that I think a lot of Canadians know about the north, but many of us have never visited. It's a great reminder of, to me, of this vast landscape and peoples and animals that live up there that we just don't have an opportunity to visit, I would say. I mean, our lives just don't take us there. It's not the hottest of holiday destinations, I suppose, but I was very inspired by it, reminding me of what my country is all about and what it means to be Canadian, really. I feel more informed about the wolf now, absolutely. And I'd be interested to know whether I know very little about what the government's attitude towards wolves would be now, but I hope what he wrote then has continued to have some sort of resonance. Maybe not so much with the public. The assumption of this fierce pack animal will forever last to some degree, but his conclusions are surprising even now after having read it before, and I'm sure that it will continue to surprise this book, to change people's attitudes. But not only to the wolf, of course, it makes one think of other animals that we have assumptions about. Leads me to respect, continue to make sure that we respect animals, the animal kingdom, and for me to sort of teach that to my children as well. Never Cry Wolf by Farley Mowat. Read by Adam Sims. Chapter 1. It is a long way in time and space from the bathroom of my grandmother Mowat's house in Oakville, Ontario, to the bottom of a wolf den in the barren lands of central Keewatin, and I have no intention of retracing the entire road which lies between. Nevertheless, there must be a beginning to any tale, and the story of my sojourn amongst the wolves begins properly in Granny's bathroom. When I was 5 years old, I had still not given any indication, as most gifted children do well before that age, of where my future lay. Perhaps because they were disappointed by my failure to declare myself, my parents took me to Oakville and abandoned me to the care of my grandparents while they went off on a holiday. The Oakville House, Greenhedges it was called, was a singularly genteel establishment, and I did not feel at home there. My cousin, who was resident in Greenhedges and some years older than myself, had already found his métier, which lay in the military field, and had amassed a formidable army of lead soldiers with which he was single-mindedly preparing himself to become a second Wellington. My loutish inability to play Napoleon exasperated him so much that he refused to have anything to do with me except under the most formal circumstances. Grandmother, an aristocratic lady of Welsh descent who had never forgiven her husband for having been a retail hardware merchant, tolerated me but terrified me too. She terrified most people, including Grandfather, who had long since sought surcease in assumed deafness. He used to while away the days as calm and unruffled as Buddha, ensconced in a great leather chair and apparently oblivious to the storms which swirled through the corridors of Greenhedges. And yet I know for a fact that he could hear the word whiskey if it was whispered in a room 3 stories removed from where he sat.